here on The Evan Bray Show. Can we just make this an official segment, Frank, and all of the powers that be here at Ralco, that whenever Tamara Cherry is filling in for Evan Bray, we have Carmi Levy on, because he's one of my favorite people, and this is one of my favorite conversations whenever I'm filling in. Carmi Levy, technology analyst and journalist, how you doing, old buddy, old pal?
I am a highly supportive of that, because likewise, you're one of my favorite people. Any excuse to talk to you, technology or not, I am there for it.
So, I was telling somebody this morning, Carmi.
Yeah, tune in.
I was telling somebody this morning, Carmi, that you always either leave me totally freaked out by technology or you bring me back to earth. Because usually I start out being totally freaked out. We talk a lot about AI. And so let's see what state you leave me in today, because the freakouts, I mean, they're not for nothing. But I know sometimes maybe I take it a little bit far. Okay, so let's start off our conversation on tech news this week with Instagram, because this is one a lot of people have been talking about. We're always thinking about the safety of our kids on the internet. Should we allow them onto social media platforms? What sort of content are they going to be seeing? So it seemed like very good news this week when Instagram said that they would be safeguarding teens by limiting them to PG-13 content. What are we talking here? And do you think that this will actually go as planned?
Yeah, I mean, this continues a trend that Instagram started last year when they first introduced teen accounts. And that was where there'd be limits on the kinds of content they could see. They couldn't see sexually suggestive content, for example, graphic or disturbing images, adult content like tobacco or alcohol. And they also built in some parental controls so that if your teen wanted to make changes to the settings, then they would have to have mom and dad's permission. And they also limited the amount or the way you could communicate between adults and kids. So all of these things were good. It's, you know, additions to the toolkit, so to speak, to keep kids safer on the platform. What they're doing now is expanding that. They're going to be using the same definitions of problematic content that movie theaters use to assign ratings to movies. So if it's a PG-13 movie, that's what kids between 13 and 18 are going to be allowed to see on Instagram as well. They're basically borrowing it from the movie industry. So that adds a few definitions of things that are now no-go for that age group. Strong language, risky stunts, things that encourage potentially harmful behaviors, like anything showing, say, drug paraphernalia, things like that, as well as additional parental controls additional parental controls and additional limits on kind of adults and kids communicating. So this is all good. It's moving in the right direction, but I share the same warning now that I did last year when they first started this, and that's, if you're a parent and your kid is on Instagram, and of course they are, they're on all of these platforms, keep in mind that the introduction of a new feature isn't going to magically make your kid safe online. It still starts and ends with conversations in the home. It still starts and ends with parents building trust relationships around technology with their kids. So you don't want to be, you know, monitoring them 24/7 or punishing them if they make a mistake or do something you don't want them to do. Your kids should know they can come to you. No judgments, no questions, no punishments. If they have any questions or concerns about anything that they see or do online. And so that's going to do a lot more good than any new feature that Mark Zuckerberg introduces across his platforms. And of course, this only applies to Instagram. They use a lot of other different tools, and we're not talking about those today.
Exactly. So, well, maybe we can for a second, because I wanted to ask you, Carmi Levy, technology analyst, parenting expert, journalist. We were talking earlier in the show about political violence in the United States, and I think back to when Charlie Kirk was assassinated not too long ago. The day it happened, my 14-year-old niece had a friend over, and they came walking down the stairs, and the friend said, my neighbor just snapped me, so Snapchatted me a video of Charlie Kirk being shot. And I was horrified. So how significant is it when a company like Instagram says they're safeguarding teens, but then there's content being shared everywhere else? Is there a domino effect to this? And how long can we expect everybody else to take to catch up?
There certainly is a domino effect, and obviously Meta is the biggest social media platform out there, and they have, you know, obviously some of the most popular social media apps under their umbrella. And so when they introduce some new feature, it inevitably touches off a wave where all the other platforms like TikTok and Snapchat and even X will introduce similar settings as well. So you know this is going to kind of roll across social media, but at the same time, the fact that the Charlie Kirk video was so free-flowing, and I remember the same thing, I was seeing it on my accounts, my kids were seeing it on theirs, that even with those protections in place, even with algorithms looking for content that's disturbing, this stuff still leaked through. And it was still trivially easy for anybody of any age to see this content in the wake of this tragedy happening. And so that's a result. It's a result of the fact that Meta is using AI to, you know, rate content and to sort of look inside a photo or a video and go, this is violent, so a teenager should not see it.
Yes.
And that AI technology is not always perfect. It misses stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes it assigns false positives as well. So you think your kid is protected from seeing it, but it'll still show up in their feed because it doesn't always get it. Or whoever's posting it kind of knows how to work around the algorithm. So not perfect. And I think as parents, we still have to expect that, yeah, our kids are going to come home some days and they're going to go, you know what, I saw something really disturbing in my feed, despite the fact that I'm a teen and all these protections are supposed to be in place. They don't always work.
What was the conversation? What did it look like with your kids when you were told that they had seen this video?
You know, we sat them down and we asked them how they felt about it. We explained that we weren't upset that they saw it. We know that the internet is porous. We know that social media tools are, you know, it's kind of hit and miss as to what shows up in your feed, and algorithms do things that we don't expect them to do all the time. And we talked about how they felt about seeing it, and did it bother them? And, you know, what will they do next time it shows up? And what did they know that we're here, we're always there for them if they see something that upsets them, or if they see something that, you know, even maybe some of their peers are doing that upsets them, but they don't know who to go to, that they can always come to us. We won't judge, we won't punish, we won't question. We'll simply be there as a trusted partner.
And people wonder, I mean, nobody wonders, but people wonder why I love Carmi Levy. Come on. Carmi, I want to ask you about one other question before we go to, or one other story before we go to break. Just speaking of kids, because on social media, they can really be dum-dums sometimes. And there's a new trend or challenge, AI homeless man prank. What the heck are we talking about?
Oh, so homeless man prank is a hashtag now because it has gone viral. It started on TikTok, but it seems to have also spread to Snapchat and Instagram. And basically what it involves is, you're a kid, you're a stupid kid clearly, and you use AI, you're hanging out with your friends, you use AI to create either images or a video of a seemingly unhoused person who's in your home. And then you send that to your parents. And as you send it to your parents, you call your parents and you record that call as they open up the video and realize or think that there is a stranger, a scary stranger in your home. Inevitably, some parents will call the police. Inevitably, because it has been logged as a potential home invasion, they will send armed officers, maybe even the SWAT team. And of course, all of this will be recorded along with the parents' reaction. It will be posted to TikTok or Snapchat or Instagram. And these videos are going viral because who doesn't want to see parents freaking out when the kids are playing a prank on them? So it sounds funny, but it isn't, because of course it means the potential is there. And thank goodness it hasn't happened yet, but it could. Someone could be injured. Someone could die. This could result in an unnecessary tragedy. And yet again, we're talking about social media viral trends that are unfortunately negative in tone. And a lot of kids are doing it. And a lot of parents, in this case, they're being victimized by it. They're not even aware that that's a thing. And I think this is kind of a signal to us. We've got to become more aware of what our kids are into online, because if one of these videos shows up in our inbox, we have to then be ready to go, oh, I heard about this. It's a prank. You know, you kid, you're grounded, and not call the cops and freak out. We have to be a little bit better about what we consume, even if it comes from our kids.
But even then, like as a parent, are you going to take the chance that, oh, this is a prank? I would be wanting to call 911 immediately too. But also, how about a conversation about compassion, people? Like, honestly, like doing this stupid prank and exploiting like some of the most vulnerable members of our population by saying, oh, I'm in danger. There's a homeless man in my home. Like, kids these days, Carmi.
And I think this is an opportunity to start teaching kids about, you know, the differences between appropriate and inappropriate use of both social media and artificial intelligence. And you expect them, as these new tools are being released, to roll up their sleeves and play with them. In fact, it's kids who are figuring out just how powerful these things are. They're a lot more likely to kind of dig right into it and become those experts and champions of the technology. But they also have to recognize they have incredible power in their hands, and if they misuse it, as is the case here, they can get themselves and a lot of people around them into trouble, and obviously, they can compromise an already disenfranchised group. And mm-hmm. So they have to learn to use these tools with great care and great sensitivity. And again, maybe not in the moment when you're grounding them and taking their phones away, but, maybe afterward, sit them down and have them understand just how much power they have in their hands as they're using these tools to create synthetic video that they then share with, their friends and their family members. It can get you into trouble if you're not careful.
No kidding. All right, Carmi Levy, let's go to break and continue this conversation on the other side. I want to talk to you about sociopathic AI. I mean, come on, you got to inject some hope into this conversation on that one. Carmi Levy, technology analyst and journalist, joins me on The Evan Bray Show. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Late night when you need my love, call me on my cell phone.
Okay, if you're just joining me, I am Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray this week and in conversation with one of my favorite people, technology analyst and journalist Carmi Levy, joining me to talk all things tech this week. And Carmi, what is this I hear about AI becoming increasingly sociopathic if you reward it for success on social media, as if we didn't have enough to already worry ourselves with, Carmi? What is going on with these sociopathic AIs?
Yeah, it's certainly a disturbing headline. It comes to us from Stanford University. Their researchers wanted to understand what happens to AI models when we unleash them in certain environments. So let's say we put them on social media and then we reward them when they boost our likes or boost our engagement or give us really good metrics. And a lot of organizations are using AI bots for exactly that. They're trying to grow their presence. When you see popular content on a social media platform, there's probably an AI bot in the background that's making that happen. But what they found was that you might get those online engagements. You might get the comments and the likes and the retweets and all that. But at the same time, as the more they're rewarded for success, the more unethical they become. They start to lie. They spread hate messages. They spread misinformation. They call it competition-induced misaligned behavior. And basically, this is an extension of what we've seen AI platforms do all the time, where they hallucinate, they lie, they go rogue, they go off the rails. And this just kind of reinforces what we've known all along, is that the protections, the guardrails that are in place to prevent these kinds of behaviors apparently aren't as good as they're supposed to be. So the good news here is that the percentage isn't huge. In other words, we might see them share 20% more misinformation. It's not 20 times more. And it's a known behavior, and we can adjust for that. And if we got better at consuming this information and identifying it, we wouldn't be sharing it to the degree that we are. So it highlights a known weakness in artificial intelligence, that it doesn't always get things right and sometimes behaves in ways that feel a little creepy. Mm-hmm. But it also shines the light on these behaviors so that we can recognize them and adjust and adapt accordingly. So AI isn't taking over just yet. It's just it behaves sometimes, and we have to be on guard for it.
A little creepy, Carmi? A little creepy?
A little, but not a lot.
There's so much about AI that's a lot creepy. Okay, we were talking earlier about PG-13 content for teens on Instagram, but OpenAI's ChatGPT will soon be allowing erotica for adults. This is like a big about face for what they have said in the past on the sort of content that they would allow on their platform.
Yeah, this is, and I've got to admit, I'm somewhat disappointed, because Sam Altman, he's the CEO of OpenAI, and he's kind of like, almost like the Steve Jobs of AI. He's really emerged as, because OpenAI could potentially be the next Google. It is dominating the AI race. They were the first to release a major chatbot to the public, ChatGPT, coming up on 3 years ago. So, you know, Sam Altman speaks, people listen. And he posted something to social media earlier this week where basically he said, in December, they're going to be rolling out what they call age-gating technology, which is basically to confirm that you are the age that you are. And if you have lied about your age when you registered for ChatGPT, then it will use artificial intelligence to read or analyze your behaviors online and then, you know, basically tell you, you know, we think you're lying about your age, therefore we're putting these restrictions on your account. But at the same time, they're also, you know, once that age gating is in place, he says that will allow them to reinforce what he calls their treat adult users like adults principle, which essentially means allowing erotica for verified adults on ChatGPT and other open AI tools, which is a huge about face because for the longest time, Sam Altman was like, we're not going to allow erotica on our platforms. That's for Elon Musk because Elon Musk owns XAI and XAI has released the Grok model, which does allow lots of erotica and basically anything goes. So he's gone from criticizing Elon Musk because, you know, Musk is spreading smut online, but OpenAI doesn't. And now Sam Altman's decided, well, I guess the smut is good for business, so we're going to allow it on our platform, which is, you know, from where I sit, kind of disappointing because he believes that the protections they already have in place will keep, you know, young people or anyone else from seeing this content. And again, based on what we've seen with the technology, but how it works and how imperfect it is, we know that's not the case. So we'll know in December kind of how this works, but I'm expecting this to generate headlines significantly through the Christmas and New Year period, and they will not be happy ones.
Well, and if they're willing to bend on something like this because it generates profit or it's good for the bottom line, what else are they willing to bend on? I mean, we're talking about something that is, it can be hugely beneficial for us AI, but it can be hugely harmful. And on that note, is it just me, Carmi, or because I know you and I listen to some of the same podcasts, but even outside of tech podcasts, I feel like the last 2 weeks, so many of the conversations I have popping up in my feed are like, is the AI apocalypse upon us? Should we really be worried about AI? Do you feel these conversations heating up?
I do. And you're absolutely right. They're not just taking place within the traditional tech media. So they're doing what I like to call crossing over. You're seeing them on the 6 o'clock and the 11 o'clock news. You're seeing them in the mainstream news cycle.
Yes.
Because as I've been saying for a very long time, AI is one of those transformational, generational technologies that is really good at leaping out of the tech news cycle and into news stories that, you know, my mom or and our kids will appreciate and understand. And yeah, I agree, because even things that you're not, for example, your schedules for transit, they're using AI to optimize those schedules and decide how much you should pay for travel. So, you know, whether you like it or not, AI is touching your world.
Every part of it.
Unfortunately, in some cases, not always for the better.
Exactly. All right, Carmi Levy, technology analyst and journalist. Love you, pal. Thanks for joining me. You know I'll talk to you again next time I'm on this show.
I cannot wait. Always just the best day when we get to chat.
Thank you. All right. We've got another delightful person coming up on the other side of the break here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.